All right, welcome back. This is the second installment of the Rebbe Retzah Kinder, the Sichas of the Rebbe to Tzivas Hashem, which we are learning as adults in order to understand it better for ourselves, in order to teach it to others, which is the best way to learn, obviously. Well, actually, according to Pirkei Avos, to learn in order to study, to teach, and to do. So, of course, the Heroba Poel is the most important thing. All right. So it's Parshas Pinchas, and we're going to learn the Sicha, Parshas Pinchas, a short Sicha. It's actually from Yud Beis Adar Tavshim Mem Hei. It's not from Parshas Pinchas, but in the Rebbe Retzah Kinder, it is under that Parsha because of the connection to a mitzvah that is in Parshas Pinchas. So we'll start right here. In Heintike Parsha, Zogt on die Teure die Mitzvah von Nachalais, der Alochais und Dinim von Yerusha. In the current Parsha, the Teure commands us regarding the Mitzvah of Nachalais, inheritance, also known as Yerusha, inheritance. And you see the Ha'ara, the footnote here, where it speaks about Nachalais, says Sefer HaMitzvahs L'Harambam, Mitzvasese Resh Mem Ches. I have my Sefer HaMitzvahs here, okay? And I have Mitzvasese Resh Mem Ches. Okay, right here, 248, right? Ish Ki Yamus Uvein Ein Loi. A man passes away and he doesn't have a son. That's the whole story of the B'nais Tzlafchad. By the way, do you know what the name of the father of the B'nais Tzlafchad was? What their father's name was, the B'nais Tzlafchad? It's just a trick question. It was Tzlafchad. Okay. What color was George Washington's white horse? Okay. Anyway, we also learn a new mitzvah when someone passes away. Who gets their things? Called Yerusha. Okay, so this is from the My Rambam, Jacobson edition, My Rambam. Very good. All right. Also, make sure we're prepared here. We have this book. All right, which volume? Volume 5. I had my research department look this up. Volume 5. The mitzvah, this is mitzvah 539, if you're going by the whole, all 613. Mitzvahs dinei nachlois, the dinim, the laws of inheritance. And it has here the pasuk, or the psukim from our parsha, from Parshas Pinchas, right here. Vel b'nei Yisrael, tidaber lemer, speak to the Jews saying, ish ki yamus uven ein loi, person who passes away. And I just want to read here from, everyone knows the excellent work that was done to put together the Yahadis curriculum. But in order for us to put ourselves in the mind frame of a child who's learning this subject, I just want to take a minute here to study the way it's presented here. Okay. There are several different ways through which a person can acquire an item of value, including buying it, working for it, or receiving it as a gift, right? It's right there. We mentioned a few different types of acquisition. Buying it, that's one way. Working for it is another way. Receiving it as a gift, that's another one. These are all types of kinyan. When we receive something in one of these ways, it is easy to forget the one who is the owner of everything in the world. A person who owns a beautiful home may say, I worked hard for many years so that I can buy my home. A person who has an expensive watch may say, I earned this watch for mowing my neighbor's lawn throughout the summer months. And a girl with a beautiful necklace may say, my parents gave this to me as a gift since I help around the house. However, there is one way for one to acquire items of value without paying for them, earning them, or even deserving them. This is through inheritance. By following the laws of inheritance as set out in the Torah, we are clearly reminded that Hashem is the true owner and master of the world and everything in it, and his gifts remain with a person and his inheritors forever. And that is adapted from the Sefer HaChinuch. It asks here a question for the children. Here's a little checkpoint. See, they do the checkpoint. How is an inheritance different than something you buy, earn, or receive as a gift? So this is a concept that a child could learn. I mean, not only could learn, does learn. And, you know, the simple way of explaining is inheritance is a form of acquisition. They don't know the word acquisition, but they understand the idea of you didn't own something, now you do own something. Okay, are there different ways to become the owner of something? Okay, so they know about you. You might buy something, give money for it, and then you come to own it. Or you might earn it, you work for it. You didn't give money for it, but you gave your time, you gave your effort, and then that's paid to you as payment. Or it could be a gift. You didn't buy it or earn it, but somebody gave it to you because they like you. They wanted to reward you, or they wanted to show you their friendship. Everyone understands these concepts. And then there's another way of acquiring something called Yerusha. And Yerusha is an automatic transfer that happens after 120 when the descendant, the child of somebody, automatically takes possession of their property. Okay? Fine. So now we're in a mind frame of looking at this mitzvah from the eyes of a child. Let's continue in the sicha. Und da stellt sich der große Wunder bei jüdischer Kinder. And here, there comes up a big wonder, like a big question from Jewish children. Jewish children are studying this mitzvah, and they're going to have a question. And it's very interesting. You would think that the Rebbe had taught Pre-1A to be able to understand the psychology of a child and the kinds of questions that children would ask. And it's interesting, by the way, there's someone else that the way the Rebbe taught us to learn his teachings, you would also think he probably, you know, he taught Pre-1A or he taught, he must have taught little children, you know, five-year-olds. You might think maybe he taught Chumash to five-year-olds, a big rabbi, yeah? Great rabbi, maybe taught five-year-olds Chumash. Ben Chomish Lemikra, Rashi, right? And the way that the Rebbe taught us to learn Rashi, you know, if Rashi doesn't ask it, it's because a five-year-old would never ask it. And if Rashi does ask it, it's because a five-year-old would ask it, or at least a very smart five-year-old sometimes, the Talmud Mamulach. But at any rate, there's a certain, I don't know, I would call it, understanding of the listener, understanding of the Talmud. You know, as teachers, often we fall into the trap. How do we understand something and how do we want to say it? And what's much more important is, how is the Talmud going to hear something and how can they best hear it? And so you see here as an example that I was saying, look, you're going to teach this subject to children. Here's a question that's going to come up. And then the Rebbe tells you the question the child's going to have. And after you read it, you're like, you know what? Totally. I could see kids coming up with that question. So the Rebbe reminds us to get back into that mentality when we're teaching children. Okay. Alle wissen doch, as Mashiach kommt. Now, everyone knows Mashiach's coming now. Okay, the children who are studying this subject, they know Mashiach's coming now. Und sicher wollen alle Jiden sicher sein, zu mekabel sein pnei Mashiach tzedkeinu. And of course, another thing we know for sure, all Jews are going to merit to receive Mashiach, to greet Mashiach. Euch zere älteren und seid es, welche haben sie aufgehadewit und mechanisch gewen, wie der Ebeshter will, including their parents and their grandparents, who raised them the way Hashem wants. Und wie bald noch bies am Mashiach wollen alle sicher sein, zu ariches yamen v'shonim tevis. And since after Mashiach comes, everyone is going to have long life. Bis zu ewigen Leben. In fact, they will have eternal life. Gesundheit und Freilichkeit. With good health and happiness. So what's the child going to ask now? Is doch das a Zeit, wenn die alle Halachos von Yerusha seinen ganzen nicht Shaykh? It's going to be a time when all the laws of Yerusha won't be Shaykh. Right? Because how does the laws of Yerusha start? We said, Ish ki yomos, a person passes away. Remember, that's what the Pasuk said from our Parsha. When a person passes away. But the kid knows, hold on a second. Teacher, father, mother, whoever it is who's teaching them. We know that very soon there's going to come a time when no one's going to pass away. And we're learning laws about transfer of items that occurs when somebody passes away. But people aren't going to pass away anywhere. So how is it going to be relevant anymore? Al alle Wellen doch leben mit chayim nitzchim ebik leben, because everyone then is going to live forever. By the way, the Rebbe doesn't explicitly make a point of this, but I think it's very worthwhile for us to stop here for a second and reflect upon it. The Rebbe's assumption about the mentality of the child is that a child would assume that something we learn would have to be relevant. And if it's not going to be relevant anymore, why would we learn it? See, very important idea here. The child's assumption is, if you're telling me something, it's relevant. But I know another piece of information, that Mashiach's coming very soon, we're all going to live forever, that would tell me that maybe the thing that you're teaching me right now is not relevant. And that's going to bother a child. Unless you abuse their trust over and over and over again by telling them things that are not relevant, and another thing that's not relevant, another thing. Then finally, you know what happens? They become cynical, chas v'shalom, and then they just assume, you know, okay, fine, so it doesn't have to be relevant. That's a very sad thing when that happens, because the assumption of a child is that if you're telling me something, it's relevant. So we should live up to that assumption and make sure if there's any question how something may or may not be relevant, to take care of that and address that. Now, let's go a little bit further. Unoch apis, and another thing, fragt der Yiddish kind, a child is going to ask. Another thing a child is going to ask. Ich bin doch far bar mitzvah, oder bas mitzvah. I'm a child, I'm younger than bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. Far was lernt man mit mir hilches nachlois? Why are you learning with me the laws of inheritance? Was far a scheiches haben kleine kinder mit azelcha inyonim? What do little children have to do with such laws? You know, you do the estate planning. Everybody knows that means talking to the old people. What are you talking estate planning with children, right? So a little kid is thinking, well, what does this have to do with me? See, this is another level. Before we're saying the child's asking, how is this mitzvah relevant in general? Because very soon people aren't going to pass away at all, so the mitzvah won't be relevant to anyone. But then as another level or another layer, how is this relevant to me? Even without the first question, the second question still stands, which is, how's it relevant to me? I'm a child. Why should I know about inheritance? So two things here. The child assumes that anything you teach them, and they rightfully assume that anything you teach them is relevant in general. And then more specifically, it's relevant to me, because you're telling me it has to be relevant to me. And the child is right to have that assumption, and therefore we want to reinforce that assumption by making sure that the child knows, yes, indeed, anything that I tell you is relevant to everyone, and it's relevant to you. Okay. Is der Enfer auf dem? Okay, so here's the answer. It has to be an answer. Otherwise, chas v'sholom, we're telling people things that aren't relevant. In Sugob, zu dem Inyan von Yerusha, in Poshtenzin, in addition to Yerusha, in the most literal sense, was a kind jarschend die Eltern nach 120 Jahr, where a child inherits his parents after 120 years, is eich veran der Inyan von Yerusha auf a ruchnis dicken eifen. There's also Yerusha in the spiritual sense. Was das ist veran bei jeden Jiden ständig, which exists by every Jew eternally, und die Eltern, and the parents and the grandparents, they should live for good long years. Nobody has to pass away for this eternal spiritual Yerusha to exist. Es ist veran a ruchnistike Yerusha, was Kinder jaschnen von die Oves und Imois von Klal Yisrael, Avrom, Yitzchok und Yankiv, Sar, Rivka, Rachel und Leia. There's a spiritual Yerusha, that children inherit from the Oves and the Emois, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yankiv, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. This itself, before we go on, I just want to comment on this. That the Rebbe is introducing the concept of there's a thing. In this case, Yerusha. That thing exists on two levels. a material level and a spiritual level. Right there, that is a world of chinuch. The very concept, see, we take it for granted. That's why I'm stopping and I'm like drawing our attention to it. We take it for granted. We're so used to it. It's like the air we breathe. But the notion that we would teach something to a child and we would say to them, well, yeah, there's how that thing exists on the material plane, and there's also how it exists in Elam HaSelyanim, on a spiritual plane, and then how that spiritual heavenly thing comes down to this world and has relevance to your life. Now you're going to say, wow, that's what we're saying to a kid? Yeah, you're darn right it is what we're saying to a kid, 100%. And why am I making a big deal about this? Because it's so common to us and yet so foreign to the rest of the world. Most of the world today, their understanding of the world is a materialist worldview. Materialism doesn't mean that you have fancy new clothes and gadgets all the time. That's conspicuous consumption. And conspicuous consumption is a symptom of materialism. But materialism really means the worldview that everything can be reduced to matter. So what is it all? It's just matter. It's physical stuff. There's nothing more than the physical world. And that's the predominant worldview today. From the smartest people in the world today, they see the world as all physical. I mean, today is Yud Gimel Tammuz, so I should definitely acknowledge that, and we would do well to tell a story about the Mesiras Nefesh of the Friedrich Rebbe. So I'll tell you a story. In one of his arrests, not the one that was Yud Gimel Tammuz, but in one of his arrests, a communist took out a gun and he tried to scare the Friedrich Rebbe. The Friedrich Rebbe was impervious to their intimidation, which they hated because they were masters of psychological warfare. They knew how to break people down and they couldn't break the Friedrich Rebbe. So he pulled out the gun, maybe that would scare him. And the guy said snidely, you know, this little toy has, you know, it knows how to make people talk. And the Friedrich Rebbe says, that toy works on people who have one world and many gods. I have two worlds and one God. What does that mean? What does it mean? When the Friedrich Rebbe says, I have two worlds. So I used to think it meant, you know, don't worry, if you kill me, I'll go to heaven. If I leave this world, I'll go to the next world. But I saw where the Rebbe explained once that that's not what the Friedrich Rebbe meant. It meant that he has two worlds at the same time. Don't you realize this world isn't just a physical world? So those who appear strong are not necessarily the ones who are strong. And even when a situation looks like it's going a certain direction, that's not the whole story. There's a lot more to it. There's not one world. There are two worlds. There's not just one plane of reality. There's a whole other dimension which is hidden from us, but it's just as real as the physical one. So the idea of two worlds, the idea that everything that exists in the physical world also has a counterpart on the spiritual plane, and it's just as real as the physical. In fact, it affects our lives just as much as the physical, if not more, if not more. So just, and what I'm saying is, before we even get into the spiritual idea of inheritance, just the idea that the Rebbe is telling us, when you talk to a child and they have a question, when you tell them, okay, there's a concept called inheritance, but there are two versions of that concept. There's the material version and there's the spiritual version. That itself is such an amazing lesson in chinuch. Now, I'll tell you a quick story before we move on. I was once speaking at a Chabad house on campus on the West Coast. It was Northern California, which is, you know, I don't have to tell you politically what Northern California is like. And it was a campus, so it was even more so. Anyways, I told a story about meditating with Tziri HaShluchim. The talk was about meditation. And I spoke about one time that I was meditating with a bunch of little kids. 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. And we were being mizbeinin on Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, on the omnipresence of Hashem. And I used it as an example of, you know, meditation is easy. If these kids can do it, then adults can do it, right? So after I finished my talk, a lady comes over to me and she says, I didn't want to call you out in the middle of your talk, but you say this story about these children meditating on Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, the omnipresence of Hashem, the Hashem is everywhere. That's not possible. I said, it happened to me. I was there. I mean, I meditated with them. She's like, yeah, yeah, they said they were meditating on it. They don't know what that concept is. I said, but they did. It was a beautiful experience. And she's like, listen, I don't want to, again, I didn't want to call you out, but I'm the head of the Department of Psychology on campus. And in fact, my specialty is developmental psychology. And I'm telling you that children at that age do not have the ability yet to comprehend such a concept as omnipresence, that Hashem is everywhere. It's just, they don't have that cognitively. They're not developed enough to understand that idea. So it's funny. I told you it was a campus Chabad house. So a lot of campus shluchim have their Chabad house in their home. So even though it was late, the kids were still up and they were running around in their pajamas. And I saw a little kid and I said, hey, Yingele, come over here. And he runs over. I said, what's your name? And how old are you? He says, 8 years old. I said, perfect. I said, where's Hashem? He said, everywhere. I said, thank you very much. Case dismissed. So I said to the woman, what do you say to that right here? She says, he doesn't know what he's saying. I said, you know what? I gave you a proof right here, living proof. Trust you, you know. But I understand. I said, I understand why you're resistant to this idea. But let me tell you something. I can give you an explanation for this where you will not have to rethink everything that you've ever learned. Because I understand. If this is true, she was told it's not possible. Now we're seeing it is possible. So if this is possible, then everything she learned wasn't true. So I told her, listen, I can explain this to you in a way that gives you permission to not have to reject everything you ever learned. Okay? And you could still accept this truth that an 8-year-old and even a much younger child than that can fathom the idea of Hashem being everywhere. And here's the explanation. Piaget or whatever psychologist it was who figured out what the different developmental, you know, benchmarks are for a child, what they're able to understand at what age. He was studying regular kids. And regular children, their regular chinuch, their education, is about material things. They don't talk about spirituality in their education. And that's why, at that age, they didn't yet have the ability to think abstractly. However, our children are trained to think abstractly. They already start thinking about and talking about and relating to spiritual concepts, non-material, non-concrete, completely abstract concepts from the moment that they are verbal, we begin to speak to them that way. So therefore, yeah, Piaget or whoever it was, you know, who made these benchmarks, he was studying children who were never exposed to that. So of course, if a child's not exposed to that, they have no hasaga, they have no comprehension of spiritual ideas and abstract things. They only know the concrete. They only know what they can empirically experience, what they can touch and taste and hear and smell and five senses. But if a child is trained to think about spiritual things, then of course they can understand and relate to spiritual things. And that's one of the things that's happening here in this sicha. The child asks a question about inheritance. We say, ah, hold on a second. That's material inheritance. Let's talk about spiritual inheritance. Let's continue. Jeder Yiddish Kind in alle Zeiten und alle Erde darf wissen. Every Jewish child in every time and every place has to know. As es ise gegeben geworden die teierster und chashevester Jerusha. They were given the most precious and prestigious inheritance. Teira tziva lonu meishem erosha kilas yankiv, which is one of our 12 psukim. The ganze Teira und alle ihre mitzvahs, was Moshe Rabbeinu hat gelernt mit Yidden, the entire Teira and all of its mitzvahs that Moshe taught the Jews, is gegeben geworden als Yerusha zu jeden einem, was gehört zu Kehilas Yankiv. It was given as an inheritance to every individual who is part of the congregation of Yankiv. Der Sohn von Yitzchok und Enkel von Avram. And who is Yankiv as an individual? He is the son of Yitzchok, and he is the grandson of Avram. And we are all his grandchildren. Was auf Avram steht, regarding Avram, it says, Ekeve sheshama Avram bekelev yishme mishmarti mitzvei sei chukeise vesei. Weil Avram hat sich zugehört in mein Stimme und gehit meine mitzvahs chukim mitzvahs, because Avram listened to my voice and he kept my mitzvahs. Und so haben sich gefeiert sehr frühen, Sarah Rivka, Rachel and Leah. And so their wives also conducted themselves, Sarah Rivka, Rachel and Leah. Und das ist die Hera, was man lernt von Hilchas Nachlas. This is the instruction that we learn from the laws of inheritance. Jeder jiddisch Kind, was gehört zu Zivas Hashem, darf ständig gedenken, die Grace Jerusha, was hat bekommen von die Aves und Emois. Every child in Tzivas Hashem has to constantly remember the great inheritance that they received from the Aves and Emois. B'meila wird erhitten die Yerusha und sich benutzen mit ihr auf a pasiken eifen. He's going to guard that inheritance and use it in the most appropriate way. Und zusammen mit der Yerusha and together with the inheritance, b'kumen men alle brachas von Ebishtin, that's how we receive all of Hashem's blessings. When we have that inheritance and we take care of it and we use it, then we get all the blessings. Gesund begashmias und gesund beruchnias, material health and spiritual health, again, material and spiritual. Unatzlocha rabba in avedas Hashem, v'yes past fartzivas Hashem, and success in our service of Hashem, as is fitting a member of Hashem's army. Okay. Thank you, one and all, and again, a good Yom Tov.
Thank you, Rabbi Taub, again for...